Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
Everyone, and welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are here with another banger of a show, getting ready to live our best lives.
Alex is seeing Spider-Man. He's got a better life than us.
Okay, you didn't. I don't know if we were supposed to say that, but you did say it, and now you have. And you know what? It's summer, so the kids have taken over. It's like dad is off at work, and we're here out of school.
What's up?
He tried to lock the fridge, but he didn't do a good enough job. And we found the stash of beer, and we are having it. But we have a very fun show ahead of us. Pete, how are you feeling? It's been Memorial Day has just happened. Did you have a big summer kickoff?
I did some chilling and grilling, man. You know, ate my weight and barbecue food, so it was delicious.
Ate my weight in a garbage plate. That's what Pete says on the weekend. What's your barbecue of choice? Is it comic book related?
No. Yeah, we just had a lot of grilled meats, which was glorious. And then, of course, a little mac salad. You know what I mean? You got to have that.
That makes a lot of sense. Great. I was upstate with my family and then was driving home. My car broke down, and I've spent the last day trying to get it fixed and finally made it home about 1 hour ago. So here I am feeling fresh.
Cutting it close.
Just two children and a dog waiting in a garage in mid-upstate New York. What a way to prepare yourself for a summer. Speaking of being prepared, let's prepare to welcome our first guest out here. We have the two members of the editorial team from Tales from the Cloakroom, Volume 2, which we're very excited. We talked about Volume 1 a while back. But please welcome out Logan Rogers and Jason Holtzman.
Yay! Hey. Welcome, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, a little jazz hands there. Loved it. Yeah, get good. Into it.
That's showmanship right there. Yeah. That's what we like to see. So let's talk Tales from the Cloakroom. So Volume 2, Volume 1 came out pretty recently. Not too long ago. And you're already here in Volume 2. Must be a success. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, so this was an endeavor that was just done literally on the coattails of Volume 1, like a year ago around this time when they went live on Kickstarter. I saw it, I made my pledge, and then I immediately reached out to the editors because I knew that they were on our Discord server with the Our Best Jacket class that is with the Substack that Scott Snyder runs and teaches classes through. And then Ben O'Grady and a handful of others got back to me. C.S. Solis was one of the writers who also got back to me, got me in touch with them. I sort of got the broad strokes plan, and then I put out feelers on our Discord server. And then all of a sudden, we were on our own, and then, you know, the rest just took off. I'm skipping over massive broad strokes here, and now we are at the of Volume 2.
Very exciting.
Fantastic. So the Scott Snyder sort of the class, that's basically just like a group that hangs out on the Discord. And like you were talking about, it's sort of like you're all in contact. How does it work with going from just that big group of people to picking who's going to be in the book and who's as the different editors take over in between?
Well, it was a bit of a process. I got involved because I reached out just like Logan did to editors of the first one. And I was like, hey, do you guys need any more editors? I was late to the party. It was before they'd launched on Kickstarter. I had heard a bunch where they were like, we're already done, but we have gotten some feelers about Volume 2. So keep your eyes out for that. As far as selecting people for Volume 1, it started in Best Jacket. The Scott Snyder's class, Our Best Jacket, has its own specific Discord. And we put out feelers, and then we now have our own server called The Tankard, which has like 65-ish people in it. Most of them came over from Best Jacket. And I think part of it comes down to, as far as who was there to begin with, making comic books is expensive. So only so many people are
True.
like, hey, we're going to be able to pay a writer or pay an artist once we write our story. And so that's just how they got over there. We're still in the Best Jacket Discord all the time, telling people what we're up to. We get new members from time to time. That's how that group came together. And then as far as who made it in the final book, kind of your standard stuff. We had pitches, we had scripts, we reviewed layouts, we reviewed final art, saw pieces put together, chose who we liked, chose who we didn't, yada yada. And of course, that sounds really quick, me going over there, but that's what we've been doing since June of last year.
Sounds easy.
Yeah. You know, it sounds very easy. You take a class and you just put out a book. Done and done.
I wish it were so.
Well, speaking of this book, though, this is just such a very cool collection of stories. I love the first one. The second one does not disappoint. It's just as good, if not better. I had such a blast reading it, all the different kind of takes and stuff. I'm a sucker for like the Bigfoot stuff was really glorious. But tell us a little bit about like what you guys contributed, what your passions for comics are, any of those, please answer.
Grew up reading the whole nine yards. You know, I am so named after the one and only Wolverine.
Yeah,
So
dude.
I grew up
Wow.
like literally a comic book kid, just like, you know, ham over fist, just eating everything I could get my hands on. So it was
Wow.
Simpsons comics and Sonic the Hedgehog comics as a kid. Then there was, you know, Marvel and DC, which you never grow out of. And you
Amen.
know, still here to this day. And then on the side of that, I also do prose fiction writing and playwriting. I was a theater kid too,
Oh,
because
wow.
of course I was,
Of
being a comic
course.
book kid.
Yeah.
And
It's like live action comic books. Now,
exactly.
your parents, one or both of them, named you after the actual Logan, or is that a you've just taken that?
One did, the other one got it under the radar. Like they didn't know. That's why they
Smart.
wanted it to be that way.
Smart.
They're like, oh, it's a
Yeah.
good name. Yeah, Logan. All right, great. And they're like, okay, yeah, sweet.
And
Got
then
it.
after it was written on the birth certificate, the parent pushing the
Yes.
comic book agenda was like, yes, got it.
The real burn came six years later when the 2000 X-Men movie came out, and then like that name was everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your full name, just to say it, is Logan Magneto Steve Rogers.
Yes, you got
Wow.
it. Yeah.
Nice. That lot over the plate. Jason, which comic book character or Jason, which Jason are you named after?
Yeah, exactly.
The only well-known one I can think of is Jason Todd, and
Mm-hmm.
that may or may not be the best character to be named after, depending on how people are.
Famously dead for a long
Yeah,
time.
I will admit my dark secret is I have a very large Batman collection, and it started
Ooh.
out as a Jason Todd collection because I was young and I was like, oh, you know, Robin
Nice.
named after me.
He's
And
my
then it
guy.
just kept growing, and I was like, man, I really wish this hadn't started because of Jason Todd, but that's
Well,
thank
now
you for
you
sharing.
for volume two, you're on Kickstarter, right? And
Yes.
why Kickstarter? There are a lot of options for platforms to raise money and build your comic. Why stay on Kickstarter for this?
Really
Well,
just
part of it was volume one. I mean, that's what volume one had started with. And so
makes
we had an
sense.
established base. I mean, there were some discussions on if we would end up using the same like Kickstarter launch page they did, or whether we wouldn't, like, because they already had it set up. We ended up not doing it because it was their own thing. But we still were in contact with them. And so like one of our booths, the Kickstarter is live, by the way, for anyone listening. We had a hugely successful launch so far.
Yeah,
And
you're
they were
crushing
able,
it.
yeah, they were
Congrats.
able to push out to all their previous backers, like, hey, guess what's on Kickstarter now? Because you love this book so much. So that's part of it. And then just being honest, I think Kickstarter is the biggest one. I know there's a lot of new self-publishing places out there, but I myself am not super familiar with all of them. I'm becoming familiar with them as I engage more with indie people on Twitter and try to help promote books and stuff, and I see all these new platforms that people are using, which I think is pretty cool. So
yeah, for sure. So just to name the numbers, you've got your goal was $4,000. You're up to almost double that, 7,800. You've got 176 backers, which is it's a ton. That's great. Yeah. 25 days to go. What should how should we other people come to your page, or why should they come to your page, and what are some rewards they can get if they donate?
So we have a few different tiers on there. There's the digital, you know, just regular old PDF, if that's the way you groove these days. Digital comics is your thing. You can do that. That's the cheapest way to enjoy the book. There's a second tier higher than that, which is the creator's edition, where a few months after, maybe a few weeks, few months, however long it takes, we're going to do a compiled version of the book that has, like, earlier scripts, pitches, works in progress pages by the writers and artists. Because the idea was that it was all made under a class that we would then show, like, how it's done, steps of development. And then as you go on, you get three art prints or a variant cover. We have, Jason, help me out with the names. I know Nayo Rodriguez, who did our cover for the book, is one of them. Who are the other two artists that we have?
We have, I can't think of his first name. We know everyone by their Discord handles, of course.
Is it Steve Mardo?
That's our print. That's our print. Yep. We have there's that awesome print of the moon with the jacket, and then it's I think it's Matt Salas did the variant cover.
Matt Salisbury. Given some sort of old school Sandman-esque imagery up top.
And so you can do that. If you want to go a little bit higher, there is the ability to add some stickers and bookmarks, which are all designed by Nayo Rodriguez. So it's just different moody cats. One of the cats is a callback to the back cover of Volume 1 with the fish, the cute one. Yeah, there's the badass cat wearing a leather jacket on the bookmark. And then if you want to go even higher than that, and it's only five slots, the other editor and I, JB, are offering our editorial services where we will give you feedback on your pitch or on your comic or whatever it is to help develop whatever you're working on. And then the highest tier you can go is the Signed by Scott Snyder edition, where your book will come a little bit later, but you are going to get a copy signed by Scott himself.
Yeah,
and it also comes with everything. All those prints we mentioned, the stickers, stuff like that. It's the whole package.
That's fantastic. I love the sort of pay it forward aspect of that, where you really are building a community, something that really does pay off when you already have 176 backers at last check. So that's really, really nice and sort of what it felt like comic books used to be years ago, and it, you don't see it as much anymore. So shouts to that. One more question for you. The previous volume, one of the stories was nominated for an Eisner, right?
Yes, it was. Just recently, we were all super excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's some big prestige. That's very exciting. Yeah. What is that like in the Discord community? Is that?
Oh, I mean, it was everywhere. And my Twitter notifications, like, I mean, I got on and instantly retweeted it. For those listening, it's called The Beekeepers Do. It's written by Jimmy Stamp. He was the member of the class. For the rest of the credits, I'm sorry, you'll have to go find the story. Because, again, that was in the first volume, so we didn't work with that story a ton directly. But if you subscribe to our Best Jacket, Scott also, in one of Scott's classes, he went over the story. This was before the Eisner nod. And it was a terrific conversation to see him go over. And I think the reason that story probably got the Eisner nod is you read it, and then you have to read it a second time to realize it was only four pages. Because when you read it, it does not feel like four pages. It feels like there's just so much packed into it. It's so tightly made. And then you're like, oh my gosh, they pulled this off in next to no space. Like, this is incredible. I think that's part of the reason it's really unique.
Cool.
That's awesome. Do you feel like, are you more into jackets? There's so much jacket hype. Are you buying more? Are you checking your coats when you go out to shows or anything? Your jacket
guys. You know, I actually love to accessorize. Jackets and outerwear and hoodies might actually be the number one piece of clothing that I go out of my way to find. Like, this is how nerdy I am. It ended up being this polyester cheaply made thing, but I thought like the Desmond Miles Assassin's Creed hoodie that he wore in the video games was really cool.
Wow.
And so like a few years ago, he just went on eBay, typed it in, and I found like a replica one. And when it came, it was just this really uncomfortably made polyester cheap whatever. But it was pretty fun.
That's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. Not your best jacket. The classic Wolverine to be focused on the outerwear. Well, thanks so much. Definitely check out Tales from the Cloakroom Volume 2.
Yeah,
thank you, Jason. Jason and Logan, for being here. Check out the Kickstarter. Back it. Read the book. It's a blast.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations, guys. So excited for the next volume.
Thanks so much. Oh, cut him off.
Cut him off. Oh, man, classic.
Tales from the Cloakroom, Volume 2. Check out the Kickstarter. As we said, it's a fun read. And that one Eisner coming through in Volume 1, the pressure's on.
The press! I tell you what, though, that second volume is a blast. It's so
very
much fun.
Yeah. I love how little pockets, something like that, gets made, and then it continues to grow. That's what it's all about. So from people just starting out in the comic book industry, moving over to someone who's had some experience, our next guest, please welcome out Jorge Molina, everybody.
Yeah!
Hey!
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to be here, Pete, Justin.
Oh, thanks, man. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for coming out. Now, you have a volume of collecting your artwork. Coming out called Zerto, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, I'm very excited. It's my first time doing an art book and like putting everything together. So I'm just very eager to just show people what I've been cooking for the past 15 years and some of the stuff that's never been seen before, and you know, backstage sketches and all that. So it's looking pretty cool.
Plus, power to the left-handed people. I love it.
Yeah. So there are very few of us.
Wow. So what is the name Zerto? Is that your nickname? How does
it's lefty.
Does that come from?
It's lefty in Spanish. It's sort of a nickname that I have. It's just a silly story that it's my gamer tag when I used to play Xbox. And
that's awesome.
I was like, I gotta find a gamer tag, you know. And I'm not gonna be a Demon Slayer Destroyer 34, so I was like, yeah, that's something, you know, that it's related to me. So I just picked up Zerto, and from then it just stuck with all my friends. And I was like, well, it's also my working hand, so I might as well just call my book, you know, like that.
It all
makes sense. Makes sense.
It came full circle.
Yeah.
What went into gathering all of these pieces? Like you said, some of them unreleased. Did you always have like that? That magic file.
I mean,
going,
of all the art that I've done, the stuff that I've been published, there's always a ton of sketches that go behind every single cover or even every single page. Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be some of that. On the other hand, I also plan to have a lot of stuff from the creator own that I've been developing. So
yeah.
Some of the stuff from like concept work and trying to figure out what the character is going to look like and the colors and all that. So you'll see some of that, some characters that are just completely from my own creation. So it's going to be like a little bit of everything, a little bit of the Marvel stuff, a little bit of DC stuff, and a little bit of the personal stuff, and hopefully be able to have a big perspective of what I've been doing for feels like an eternity now.
Well, speaking of which, just thank you so much for all of the amazing art that you've brought into the world. It is just, as a comic book fan, like just loved your stuff and thank you. Like, but from your perspective, like what was the thing that kind of got you going? Was there a comic you read as a kid, or was it just kind of like, were you in class just doodling and you kind of like go to a different place? Like, where did it all kind of start for you?
I think it's just like, it started to build as a kid. I never read comic books. I'll be honest about that. I always flipped them through and I found the drawing is amazing and very interesting. Right. So what I would do is I just pick those comics up and I will try to redraw and copy whatever the comics were in it.
Yeah.
Not paying any attention to the story for some reason. I got big into collecting the Upper Deck cards.
And I
became obsessed with those. And I got a group of friends that we were all collect those and tried to like have the biggest collection out of those. So it started as an obsession of collecting those and at the same time copying those whenever I had a time to draw. But at the same time, it's a little bit of what you say, Pete. It's like I never cared for school and never paid attention to school. And, you know, paper and pencil were always there.
Right there.
And to me, it was like the easiest way to like just get distracted or entertained, I guess. It was just to draw. And I used to draw what I like. So I like superheroes. I like watching cartoons. I like Batman cartoon. I like the X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the He-Man. So that was my escape, I guess, in a way of going to school and being so bored by it. It's like, I got to entertain with the stuff that I like to draw. So I evolved from that.
Cool.
Going from like copying your favorite characters, which I feel like we all did, and then making the leap into creating your own, like you mentioned, what was the first sort of jump? Do you remember like the first character you drew out of here?
Yeah, I remember. Like I that's probably around when I was 12 or 13 years old. That's when I started to creating my own stuff, you know, and doing my own characters. I remember it was around the time the Spawn came out, and I was like, wow, this is like a new character. Like I've already seen Batman, I've seen the X-Men, I've seen Spider-Man, but Spawn was just so different. And now there is like, oh, you can make new characters. That's so cool. And that's when I started just like tooling and creating my own stuff. And I got a couple of friends who have those drawings still. It's awkward to look at them because they're so bad. But
but your friend held on to him. There's something there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So to look at them, it's like there's something genuine and about, you know, having those thoughts at that age and being able to still doing that at this age.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's pretty awesome. Well, speaking of awesome stuff, we like to drink on this show, and Stray Bullies are chef. He made a drink for you. He curated a special elixir just for you to be on the show here.
We have a chef who's a fan of the show. He's our official chef. He works down in New Orleans. If you're ever down there, check out Kushan. Very excellent restaurant. And he created a cocktail called the Zerdo.
That's
mix.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you the
send me. I would love to recipe. Try it out on the I don't know. It's Tuesday. I guess I can
it's specifically for Tuesday. It's a special Tuesday cocktail.
That's awesome.
It's gin, limoncello, a little bit of cranberry juice, orange bitters, orange juice,
nice,
lemon and sparkling water. Yeah. It's a great, refreshing cocktail. Let me read out what he wrote in the recipe. Do you know who Jorge Molina is? This dude is crazy talented and has probably drawn some of your favorite books without you even knowing it. His artwork is clean, simple, and so descriptive. How could I not make a cocktail to honor his new book of 15 years of collected artwork called Zerdo? So we'll post that, and we'll send it your way, Jorge, if you want to check it out.
Of course, yeah, man. I'm not going to check it out. I'm going to drink it. So
Stray Bullet in the comments, I'm also left-handed. So it's a real Zerdo vibe tonight. Right.
Yeah,
thank
nice.
You. Thank you so
That's
much.
Cool. Yeah, we posted on the thing, but we can only, since Alex isn't here, we can only get it sideways. It doesn't come up so you can read it. Yeah,
there it is.
All right. Yeah.
This is the fun, what happens when our other co-host isn't here.
Once you have a couple Zerdos, it looks
like then you can read it, and it looks legit. Yeah, exactly.
So you, just to talk about the book again for a bit, it's on Zoop as a crowdfund. Your goal was $10,000. You're already also up double, $19,000, 104 supporters, 17 nice. Days left. I asked those other gentlemen about Kickstarter, because that's the platform they use. You chose Zoop. We always are curious what, for people out there who are looking to start their own comic book project, what drew you to Zoop?
What drew me to Soup was the people behind it. I mean, it all started just as a tweet. I just wanted to, I don't know, see maybe 2023 was going to be the year that I'll do an art book. And instantly I got contacted by Jordan. Jordan is from Soup. So he was like, we can make it happen and just let's work together and let's do the campaign on Soup. And I was like, okay. I was just tweeting and like you guys took it seriously, but that's awesome. So it was very easy to work with Jordan and the Soup crew just because they were so on it and they were so supportive. And it just makes my life easier as a creator to be able to put your trust in them and so they know how to run their things. Because that's a big part of the campaigns, you know. To me, it's a daunting task to not only put a book together, but have to bring people and make them aware, and at the same time, creating the fonts and doing the whole campaign. It's a whole job into itself. So to me, just being able to have them and collaborate together and you know, they would listen to me and try to have my input of what I wanted and how can we get there. That was just key. Into creating this book, so I'm just very lucky and happy to be able to do this with Soup. So yeah, it's a no-brainer for me.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, what I like about this is great ways to have people who make the stuff support them, you know what I mean? Sometimes when you're going out and you're doing stuff, you're not always doing the best avenue, and something like this is the best avenue to support the artist, the person who makes the book. There's no real middleman, so this is just such a cool project and a great way to support artists. So awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, right now I'm doing the task of just putting the book together, so slowly getting there, but I'm happy that the campaign is out there and it did so well. I mean, we still have 17 days left, so hopefully people will get us to reach the next goal. So
it's such a cool book and it looks amazing. Yeah, people should definitely go out and support it and check it out for sure.
Yeah, great way to get your hands on the book and signed copy right there on the Woo-hoo! On the Zoop site. So definitely grab that. Now, something a lot of folks in comics work in the video game industry, like you do, Jorge, as concept designer or an artist working on video games. Can you walk us through what that process is like? I feel like it's something we don't really know how that works.
For video games, it's more on the concept art stuff. So specifically to me, my experience has been being able to design the characters from the video game and how they look on screen and the different type of outfits. So it's different from comics in the sense that there's more creative freedoms and you have the time to explore and really polish, you know, those designs. In comics, since you have to do a certain number of pages, you always try to make the suits as simple as possible.
Right,
you can draw and finish those panels as fast as possible. You know, in video games, it's all the opposite. Since the character is going to be sculpted and rendered, you can put all those details that you love, and I love just, you know, getting lost in the details. So to me, it's a very gratifying way of working because I get to spend weeks on just one character and be able to like put all those little details, knobs and cables and all that in there. It's a lot of fun. But it's not for everybody, you know. So I was able to land those gigs and I love it. It's just it's a different. It taps in a different space in my brain that I like exploring also, you know. On comics, I love being able to do the covers just because you have that extra time also to be able to put, you know, all the colors and all the details on that. So to me, it's like the middle ground between doing cover work and doing comics and doing video games. It's a lot of fun too.
Awesome.
When you get sort of like an assignment like that, what details come to you that you're then sort of spinning around in your brain to actually put the design together?
Well, it depends on what the director needs, you know, for the game. So I will usually get a brief of what the character or who the character is and a personality around it. So from there, I start getting all the data that I need. I do a lot of research. I usually spend around 2 days just doing research and just trying to get a better sense of what the visuals are going to be when I lay down the lines and do the character. So I think that's key, you know, like getting familiarized with the character before you even start drawing. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time just drawing and drawing and drawing without getting nowhere. So it's like you're going to build a house, but you got to have, you know, the floor plans before you do that. And I think that's part of the job, you know, doing the research for that.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel like that's not something I feel like with an artist, everyone thinks like, well, they just came up with it and put it down on paper in a day. But you
sometimes
really
that works, yeah. But especially in video games, I don't like to do my research because you have that little bit of extra time. In comics, sometimes you have to wing it because it's just like the deadline is there.
But at the same time,
like, you know who Batman is, and you already drew Batman a couple of times, so you're not doing new characters that often.
I mean, you've drawn so many books and characters all across the spectrum. Who are you itching to get down? Who do you want to like spend some time?
I want to keep drawing Batman, man. Like, I don't want to move from there. I'm happy there. I could do that for the rest of my life, and I love it. And, I'm happy to be doing that and still doing that. Like, just this morning I finished the Batman sketch, and I'm gonna do the cover from that, so I'm happy. Like, I don't want to draw any other character.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, Batman and the X-Men, man.
What is it about Batman then that keeps you? Because I feel like, you know, you draw, you don't ever get tired of it. Why? That's crazy.
Yeah, that you never get tired of Batman. I don't know why. I think there's something about, you know, that darkness in the character that I enjoy so much, and you can get so much from the contrast that you're able to use with Batman, just that black and white. It's so powerful. At the same time, it's a character that commands so much attention, and it's so impressive in it's almost like a Renaissance sculpture, you know, like with the cape and the cowl and all that. That is just, there's so much potential and so many ways to make that character look cool, and you can make it look imposing, you can make it look menacing, you can make it look heroic. There's a wide gambit of things to explore when drawing Batman that I think that's why I love it so much. So, and I love black, and he looks so cool with black.
I feel like when you talk about Batman, like we talk about Batman, like a cool friend that we like, oh man, I can't wait. Batman's coming over.
He's
so cool.
Exactly.
So can we look forward in 15 more years to your next volume, and it's just going to be like 98% Batman drawing?
Batman, all Batman.
All right. Well, I'll buy that one too. Can't wait. I'll
probably do an art book with just Batman if DC lets me. That would be cool.
I mean, I feel like that's a great follow-up. Everybody check out Zerto over on Zoop. Thanks so much for being here, Jorge.
Man.
It's so good
Thank you so much.
We love your work. Keep living that Bruce Wayne life.
All right. It's a pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks for being here.
All right. Have a good one.
Later.
Oh, man.
Jorge Molina.
That's so fun.
The love affair with Batman continues.
To see him talk about Batman was special. That was pretty awesome.
Well, and like when you see someone who loves their work, like that's the way, you know, it almost, you can, even on this show, you know, goes into a little bit of like that reverie of just like thinking about that character. So definitely check out the Zerto campaign over on Zoop. And, you know, there's Lefty. There's a lot of supporters already out there. And just to be selfish about it, get your hands on this book. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it really does.
Now, so moving on from our interview, it's time for our favorite section, because you guys all make it up. It's your audience questions.
Hey, I have a question. Can you throw that recipe back up there? I want to see what's in that, man. Does that look good?
Sure. Sideways? You want it?
Yeah, sideways.
Great. I can do that. Sideways. Please leave a question on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. They will pop up here, and we will answer them anything at all.
Looks
why,
delicious.
Maybe like, why couldn't the recipe come out the right way?
Well, Stray Bullet says he wrote it sideways. He did that because
I think,
you know, a little
he's just
askew.
Being nice. But let's do some audience questions right now.
All right. What you drinking, man?
I'm drinking a Modelo. I didn't have time to make the cocktail because I was driving here like an absolute maniac.
Yeah, well, I'm drinking a Sunny D and vodka. You know what I mean? We got some purple stuff. We got some Sunny D. Come on, man.
That's the name of the drink? That's
right. That's right.
Crazy. Sunny D, I guess, has really found its home. an alcohol.
The nostalgia factor for, yeah, oh, it's just glorious, man.
I could just see you reaching over. That's something I feel like you would just straight up Popeye. You just grab, squeeze it, and it shoots right in your mouth. It gives you fuel. First question from Josh Sinison, Jay Sinison. If there was a podcast strike, what would your picket sign say? Now, as obviously Josh referencing the writer's strike,
that's right.
Part of been picketing.
How's that been going, man?
It's good. You know, we're out there. We got to just keep doing it. I feel like it's going to be perhaps a long summer of picketing, but
I'm a little worried because all this production on halt while this is all happening. I'm just worried there's going to be a drought of shows and stuff.
Nope, I don't think so. It's a little bit delayed because it's we got to take the fight to the studios to get a living wage, basically.
No, I agree with the why we're doing it. Just as a consumer, I want them to finally agree to the terms so I don't lose any more content. You know what I mean?
They're saving the Daredevil costume so he'll be able to put it back on and resume shooting. So
okay.
If that's what you're worried about.
All right.
Don't you worry. But Pete, what would your picket sign say? You're out there in the street, ready to march. You have to have a message that you're going to stand by. Cyclops was right.
Nope. That would be a horrible thing to say.
I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do is picket. How about that?
Yeah. Pay me, you won't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah,
we don't. The problem is, you know, we don't really make a lot of money doing this podcast. You know what I mean? So it's weird when you're talking about a strike. I understand.
I think we need a strike. It's about time.
I understand a writer.
We need
to make a living. You know,
we need to show up at Big Podcast, which I believe is
what's Big Podcast?
Big Podcast is like. Where it all goes down. Mark Maron's house, probably. I guess.
Oh, okay. It's
at
Mark Maron's house.
His garage, featured in his television show, so we should be able to find it. Pick at him until he eventually sprays us with his hose, because that's not how it works. Michael Tillman, this sign is worth it for the art alone.
There it is. Come on. Thanks, Michael Tillman.
A good podcast wage is super tight bananas. Pete, what do you think?
Yeah, that's fun.
A lot of great ideas out there. I got fucked on Fuck Island? What do you think? That should be a t-shirt. Pete Side will say, I warned Salvin about this. That is accurate. That's what we were saying when we decided we were going to do it without Salvin. This to show that. We warned you about this. But maybe we should pick at him. We should pick at him.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on to the next question. What comic is the most fun to read sideways? What do you think, Pete? I mean, there are a lot of comics that sort of make a sideways.
Yeah, I mean, I think of that Batman one with Court of Owls comes to mind, where it kind of twists and turns.
Yeah, there's an Ice Cream Man where it goes all the way all over.
Oh,
the place.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been some real fun ones.
This could also mean what comic is the most fun to read after you've had several Sunny D and vodkas.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's always tough.
Real quick, hard to order that at a bar, though, right? You order a Sunny and vodka, they're like, sir, I need to see an ID. You're clearly two children wearing a trench coat. Because that's not... No one orders the purple stuff in vodka, though, I bet you.
Yeah.
Most fun to read sideways, anything?
I mean, Far Side was great because it's not a lot of reading. So when you're drunk, you know, you didn't have to do a lot of reading. So
Far Side, the comic strip.
That's right.
Great answer from Michael Tillman. Private Eye, Truth, and Echolands. Oh, man. Ooh, remember Echolands? I wonder if we'll ever get more of that. Man. That was a great episode we had of sort of early pandemic where we were talking Echolands. Really fun stuff. I guess any comic can be read sideways because, you know what, Archie Double Digest. I may have to pick it because Justin can give me credit on this question. Great. Pick at me. I'll give you everything you're asking for. What would your sign say if you were picking
Schuykler was the one who came up with the picket question, just so everybody's cool.
Yeah. Thanks for being real about that.
Yeah.
Let's see. From Stray Bullet, I'm watching some of the classic Disney movies with my son, and we just watched Peter Pan. It has very questionable content regarding Native Americans. That's correct, but he loved it. What should we watch next? Interesting question. What should you watch next that has very questionable content? I don't want to tell you that. But Disney has they have warnings on their movies about that these days. So you can always be aware of that. But classic Disney movies with the son. I just watched Swiss Family Robinson with my kids, and that's a great movie. Some questionable content there as well, but I always takes me back to when I was a kid, and I was like, I'm ready to be marooned on any island. Because that one worked out well. It had all sorts of animals. Pete, what Disney movie? You spend a lot of time with children as well.
Yeah, that's right. I'm tired of taking them to movies they enjoy. I now watch them make them watch like Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff now. I've gone that way.
That's bad. Well, that is a bad.
I'm looking for memories. You know what I mean? I'm tired of just kind of like having just pleasant things. I want to be there for the real memorable moments. You know what I mean? The scarred stuff. Yeah.
Well, that means it's when you say it like that, you know, you're sort of taking yourself out of the equation as the scarrer. Mm. But are you recommending the character Scar from Disney's Lion King?
Nah, that's always scared me. No way, man.
That scared you? Lion King scared you?
Oh, yeah, dude. Are you serious? Yeah, when I was a kid, Lion King scared the crap out of me, dude. Mm. Elephant Graveyard? Are you fucking kidding me?
I guess that is true. But not the scariest movie. Sky Cloud, the dad showed up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That was, you're going to cry, dude. You know what I mean? That's just going to get you.
It's emotionally scary.
Yeah.
Moving. Let's see what we have. Yeah. What comics will anger, this is from Stanley, what comics will anger Pete the most this week?
I mean, the good news is we don't have a lot of X-Men stuff in the stack, so there's not really anything I'm going to lose my shit on. There's some great stuff that I'm looking forward to talking about. The Punisher stuff was baby.
Stanley, that's literally the premise of our podcast, The Stack. It's what comics this week will anger Pete the most. So please just tune in there where we'll answer that question handily. Very handily. Moving on over to All in the Game. How worried should we be about the Russo brothers' $200 million Electric State movie adaptation given the critical bombs that was Cherry and the Gray Man? Let's not forget Citadel, their television program that was universally panned. So the Russo brothers, I'm wondering what's up. I agree. I think we should be worried about all of those things because the proof has not been in the pudding anymore.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what the Gray Man film was. What, that the one?
You watched that.
Yeah, I love that
If one. You don't remember any aspect about it, I would argue it didn't do
no, it. No, I was like, wait a second, I like that movie.
You did like it?
Yes, I did. I've seen it numerous times.
Then you must be excited.
Yes, I am.
Great. From Newbie D, I'll never forget when I was allowed to watch It and the Leprechaun too young. Those are the memories that stick with you. I mean, I watched nothing but Trouble at a young age, and I was damaged by it.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
what movie scarred you?
Roger Rabbit scarred me. Christopher Lloyd, when he took off those eyeballs, really freaked me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street. Also, I was at a sleepover. We weren't supposed to watch it, and we watched it. Oh, there was no sleep. Man.
Peace,
no
pants. Sleep. famously. Right?
Right, Pete? Yeah. What's up?
Never mind. Frederico Rosa, I've been rewatching the Marvel Netflix shows. Have you guys watched them all? And would we consider doing a rewatch podcast? Great question. Great question. What do you think, Pete? Did you watch all of them?
Yeah, I've seen them all. I've definitely seen...
Wow, all of them. Iron Fist, every ep?
Every ep of Iron Fist, yes.
Ooh, that's fortitude. I did not make it through all of those.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. If we're out of ideas, maybe we have to go back and do a rewatch podcast. We'll see how it goes.
So for some of us, it'd be considered a watch podcast.
Oh, okay. All right, shots fired.
Shots fired. I would do a rewatch, especially the good ones. I mean, it'd be worth doing a rewatch of the Daredevil series in advance of the new Daredevil series. Because
yeah, that would be cool.
I wonder how much of the bones, obviously we're not bringing forward a lot of the characters, Matt Murdock characters from that. But I do think it's worth seeing what came before as we move into the new one. From Pablo D. Martinez, no Alex today. That is correct. That is correct. Pablo. Thank you for being so astute. Coming right down to it here, we've got still haven't finished the last season of Jessica Jones. Agreed. I also did not finish that. How many times within 10 did Pete see Luke Cage? Now, is that a quiz question from Schoikler, who wants credit whenever he asks a question? Is that a guess? I have to guess?
You have to guess, yeah.
Within 10 did Pete see Luke Cage? For context, what is your Ted Lasso rewatch up to at this point? Just to give us like God, sort of the world we're in, like how it's... crazy you are when it comes to.
I mean, all right, let's just say this last episode, it's been out for a week and I've watched it 20 times.
20 times, the most recent episode of Ted Lasso. That's right. 1 week, 20 times in 1 week. It sure drops off a little bit. And you liked Luke Cage. Luke Cage is in the same realm as Ted Lasso.
Right? That's right.
Okay, this is truly very difficult. Do you have a number in mind, Pete?
I don't.
For Luke Cage?
It's kind of like...
Put one in there.
I mean...
The full series.
The full series. How many times
I'm going to guess, and I need to get within 10. And I'm going to say... Lois, without going over, I'm going to say 62 times.
Wow. It might be. I mean,
it is, Pete. I've been watching your algorithm. I am your algorithm, dog.
Okay.
I've been feeding you, and it's what's coming out is worrisome. Let's see. Any other questions? Michael Tillman, Dan Aykroyd damaged everyone in that. Him eating hot dogs in the movie is still a recurring nightmare.
Dude, that was the grossest hot dog. And just like also his fingers kind of look like gross hot dogs.
What you eat.
Although the little choo-choo train of condiments was a great idea. And I think, you know.
Interesting. You know, so it has affected your life in good and bad ways.
That's right.
Fantastic. All right, folks, that's it for your audience questions.
Oh, man.
Thank you for all of that. Now, let's move on to a little section. Oh, you want to do one more question, I take it, because you put it on the screen?
Yeah.
Let's take it back into audience questions.
Yay! Audience questions! There's the music. That's fun.
It keeps playing the same one. It keeps playing the same track. So, what are your most anticipated movies this summer, Pete?
Yeah, what are you looking forward to this summer as far as, like, summer movies? Like, what's the top one for you?
Well, I mean, I gotta say The Flash. I'm looking forward to it.
What? Really?
You don't think so? You're not looking forward to it?
No, I just, I'm just surprised that you're saying The Flash. For me, it's Blue Beetle.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of I have Flash in my vision right now. He's right there in front of me.
Oh,
Blue Beetle, definitely later on. Good one. Spider-Man, what our venerable co-host is seeing right now. He will have an answer. So he said he was going to try to call in to the show when he if he gets home before.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it'll be Week in Geek. He's definitely going to do the stack with us, but hopefully in the Week in Geek,
he's calling into this show. He's calling into this show for a new segment, which is Alex on the Street. Alex on the Street. Alex on the Street. Deck the beat. We got Alex on the Street.
And don't. Go you're hyping up this segment that you have no, there's no way to actually make it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have no way to play the phone call on the show. You don't even know if he's calling. There's this is just a.
Yeah. But you get, sometimes you got to trust. Because sometimes you got to trust. Pete, because we can always cut some of our later sections like trivia, you know?
Ah, okay. All right, cool.
Make
cool.
a cut on that. Speaking of that, it's time for trivia. Hey, are you ready, Pete?
Yeah.
So to be featured in Pete's trivia, where he features a person who recently died, we just need you to raise your hand, either in the comments or on whatever platform you're watching it on. We would just
that's
like
right.
to see
and you
hand
can win
go
$25
up.
Gift certificate to Midtown Comics or Long John Silver for some reason.
Yeah, but well, you know, that's especially summer hits. Do you just want some fried fish nugs or whatever it is they make at Long John Silver? Isn't it all just a vehicle to get tartar sauce into our mouths? That's what I think. So just raise your hand if you would like to participate in trivia. We don't have to invite you into the stream. We can just do it via the comments.
Yeah.
It will be excellent. We got David Quinley.
Yeah, David's going to do it. Awesome.
Great.
Thank you,
I'm
going to
turn it over because this is exhausting, being the person who talks the most.
Yeah.
Over to the star of trivia himself, Pete LePage.
All right. Thank you so much, Justin. JT says, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. All right. One more tap. All right. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend, Ray Stevenson. RIP, Volstach. Okay. Here we go. Please listen to all three options before making your selection, David. I hope you are ready. Question number one, Marvel is giving whom a new number one issue starting in September? Is it A, Alligator Loki, B, Farmhand Loki, or C, Andrew Farmer? So it's either A, which is the only one that makes sense, or you could be completely wrong. Speaking of Andrew Farmer, shout out to Kenny Farmer, wherever you are. Much love, brother. Much love.
Wow. Pete just says names. So if you want your name featured on the show, you should just have Pete say it.
Cool. Yeah. So just waiting for David to type in A so we can move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
That's okay. In good time. I'm very excited because a segment I recently pitched, Alex on the Street. Alex in the Street. Who's got the beat? It's Alex on the Street. Is going to happen. I have a good authority that we are going to get.
I doubt it. Well, let's just move on because, you know, hey, it's right, David. Nice job. All
a
right, here we go.
Correct. Fantastic.
Don't overthink these, David. It's usually going to be A. All right, here we go. Who is going head-to-head in the upcoming DC Gotham War? Okay, so it's Batman v. Who. Is it A, Catwoman, B, Grandpa Wayne's Ghost Nuts, or C, Wayne Knight? So again, A is the only one that makes sense, and it's a real person in the DC universe. So you just want to comment A there.
Nice, good. I like that you've gone from suggesting clues to almost being impatient until the person does it. You're
great. Yeah, all right.
We got delay, David writes, but maybe the using the A in delay, I think that could mean exactly A.
Okay, all right. There he is! All right, here we go. Last one, David. And again, don't overthink this. You can just type in A now if you need. All right, there's a new manga alert. That's right. The Witch of Thistle Castle is Charmed meets blank. Is it A, Harry Potter, B, Terry the Weather Wizard, or is it C, TJ Storm?
Terry Potter. That's a fun character.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's who I want to see. You know what I mean?
Stanley suggests, please make Alex in the Street an hour-long segment. Yes, we will, because the actual theme song takes up about 35 minutes.
Oh, worth it.
Alex on the Street, Alex on the street. Who's got the beat? It's Alex on the street.
All right. He said A, so yeah. All right. Yes, that's right.
That's the A David said last time, but it still stands.
It's still you can copy paste. It's okay. It doesn't have to be a new A every time. And of course,
congratulations, David. Congratulations, David. Please send us an email and we will get you your gift card for either Midtown Comics or Long John Silver if you're feeling lucky. Pete, you often hide a corpse in the third answers, some sort of Edgar Allan Poe character. Who have you hidden in your C answers today?
That's right. Of course, all the C answers are actors from the 2008 movie Punisher Warzone. Yeah!
There it is. Great. We've got a comment coming in hot. No Alex triple question mark from Ramsey Hassan.
Oh,
you're right, Ramsey.
People are just freaking out about this Alex thing.
We don't have Alex. This is the first time we've ever not had Alex since the pandemic started. Well, that was, it's been a challenge. But got great news for you. We have a brand new segment called Alex on the Street. Alex on the Street. Alex on the Street. Who's got the beat? It's Alex on the Street!
Hi, what's up, everybody? This is Alex reporting live from the street. First of all, I'm really excited that I was able to tune in for my favorite section of the show. Just logged in time to see Pete do trivia. That makes me
This guy loves trivia. He walked out of seeing the new Spider-Man movie to watch Pete do trivia.
I missed the whole ending. I missed the last 10 minutes because I was like, I announced it loudly in the theater. I was like, I need to leave. Pete is paying tribute to Ray Stevenson.
You asked them to put trivia on the big screen, cut the movie off and play it, right?
And everybody was like, thanks, we don't need to see it across the Spider-Verse. That's all good.
So, Alex, we've invited you here for this segment, Alex on the Street, because you've just seen a movie that perhaps we have some interest in.
Yeah, what's it like outside?
It's very nice, actually. Thanks for asking, Pete. But it's even nicer in the movie theaters this weekend with the premiere of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse coming to theaters everywhere. Now, we all know and love Into the Spider-Verse, a big hit movie that won Oscars and won our hearts for Miles Morales and company. They're back on the big screen, baby, and they're bringing it even bigger than ever. I don't know how much longer I can keep this up, so instead I'm just going to say the movie was really incredible and I was completely blown away. It is bigger, more emotionally complex. I'm going up a hill now, so I'm running out of breath.
You honestly look a little sweaty as it is, so we're starting to be worried about you.
Is it better than the first one?
It's different, and I obviously, like, I just got out of the theater, so I have a working emotions a little bit, but it's a lot about Miles is older now. He's grown up. He's dealing with more complex things in his life. I'm not going to do any spoilers or anything like that, but I think because of that, the movie gets more complex and complicated and bigger.
Yes.
The animation is the real standout. Again, without getting into any spoilers, but throughout the movie, there were multiple times in my head, I was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. When it was happening, and I'd never do that in a movie. So
wow.
I was really blown away.
Did you cry?
I definitely got choked up a couple of times. Ooh. It's hard to cry at a press screening because everybody's like jotting it down for the New York Times release and stuff. They're like, the movie was good, but there was one guy who was crying and it was
just
really
bawling his eyes out.
I love the idea for you to be like the sobbing critic, just openly weeping in every movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm home now, so that's all the time we have for Alex on the street.
Take us in.
Show us around.
Alex is at home. Alex is at home. Okay, put it in your dome. Alex at your home. The brand new section that we just made up. It's called Alex is at Home. It's really showing it.
All right. Well, this is great, and we'll see you on the stack, buddy.
And
hey, there's Alex's family. Hey,
and Alex,
hey!
Just say your social security number.
That's a different child. That's not my child.
Don't show other people's kids on the show. Come on, man.
But we always end the section with you reciting your social security number, Alex. So go ahead and say it.
Okay, here we go. 087. Oh, here's my family.
They've been waiting for you.
They all pile up next to the door waiting for you to get home.
They've been doing this for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
Well, Alex, who knows when? We know. Who knows when we'll see you? But here, do you want to give a quick goodbye?
Me? Goodbye.
Yeah. I cut him off.
It was a quick goodbye.
Everyone is loving the new segment of Alex on the Street. Folks, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
That's right.
Well, actually, before we go to that, we should say I'm very excited for the Spider-Verse movie. This is the fact that they, because the question that I didn't ask, but I have been thinking about is, it seems like it's a more complex movie. Like Alex was saying, there's a lot more characters featured in the trailer. It feels like there's a potential for it to get a little out of hand, out of control. And it sounds a lot like it didn't, and it's going to be just another excellent movie in the Spider-Verse verse. What do you think?
Well, I'm excited for it. It should be interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of great movies coming out this summer, so should be...
Great. Harkening back to audience questions.
Yeah.
Best summer ever. Pablo asked, could there be a Pete on the Street soon enough?
Let's hope so. We got to get a live show going. You know what I mean?
You're in charge of booking that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I got a spot. We just got to talk about when we're doing it.
Great. Good news. So looking forward to that. Pete, before we end this show, it's tomorrow's New Comic Book Day. That means it's time to read some comics. Refill the old bean with our favorite comic book images. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, I tell you, I'm looking forward to Punisher number 12 as well as Doctor Strange number 3.
Very nice. No other response necessary. I got to give it up for Local Man number 4.
Oh.
Tim Seeley and Tony Fleeks are crushing it. And I love to hear it. Before we go, though, I should say this: today's episode is sponsored by Comics with My Kids.
Yeah.
Here at Comic Book Club, we love comics and we love kids. So, of course, we love the podcast. And this week's sponsor, Comics with Kids. Here's the story. Comics with My Kids. Here's the story. A comic book loving dad wanted to share his love and passion for reading comics with his two kids. So Matt decided to introduce the kiddos to comics and podcasting. That's our whole thing, too.
Oh, wow.
Now, each week, Matt with Logan or Melody will read a family-friendly comic, collected edition, or graphic novel to share with fellow listeners and help spread the joy of reading comics. There are also creator interviews that spotlight their work, and they're starting up a summer reading campaign where they will post reading lists for future episodes. So listeners, both young and old, can email in or give an audio clip with their opinions on the books. You can check out Comics with My Kids on comiccornerbox.blogspot.com for episodes and written reviews for the whole family. On Facebook at Comics with My Kids, no spaces. On Twitter at Comics with Kids. And of course, you can hear the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Awesome.
It's very fun. Definitely. This is not part of the ad. It is fun. And like, if you have any young people in your life, it's a great way to figure out the right books to sort of connect with them. And I think that's what we all want to do is spread our passion to the next generation, who many of whom you saw pop into this feed behind me when I was muted.
That's right.
Folks, that's the show. We've got another bunch of podcasts that you can check out across any sort of spectrum. Check us out. The Stack is coming out tomorrow with a bunch of new comic reviews. The Week in Geek, if you're a member of our Patreon, which is a blast. We have a lot of fun hanging out there.
Talk a lot of Ted Lasso.
All the times we talk Ted Lasso. A lot of people are asking if we've been watching Succession or Barry. We will be talking about both Succession and Barry on our Week in Geek podcast. So if you don't subscribe to that, join our Patreon. It's only a little bit of money each month. And we will, you'll have our full review of all of those things for Alex and Alex on the Street, Pete LePage, my erstwhile co-host. I'm Justin Tyler. This is Comic Book Club. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. They sit on crappy couches and